All right, what is up, guys? It is DJ Halfo here with DJ Synergy on this fine Tuesday. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hello, everybody.
I'm very excited today because we get to interview the one and only Paul Rocanello. He's the Dean of Students here at Dominican University of California, and I'm pretty excited. How about you?
I'm really excited. I enjoy talking to Paul, and last week in our pre-interview, it was pretty fun, and I think that today's show is definitely going to be exciting.
Yeah,
once he joins us.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be a lot of fun. He's not here currently, but he will be here very soon. So we're actually going to talk about a few little crazy and outrageous news stories like we normally do on my show, except this time we have DJ Synergy here with us. So
spice things up a bit.
Yeah, we only have a few stories here because we're just waiting until Paul arrives. But we're going to go ahead and get right on into it. So, a little girl presumably sick of tyrannical claw machines, never passing out toys, took matters into her own hands. A photo originally posted to Imgur, picked up by the Daily Dot, shows a young girl grabbing a stuffed toy from within the glass walls of the claw machine in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The girl simply crawled into the machine and started handing out free toys, according to the original poster. You know, personally, I think this is awesome because I hate those freaking claw machines.
I could never win anything.
I know.
As much as I tried and I spent, like, all of my allowance on them, I could never get anything.
I know. I'd spend, like, countless dollars just trying to win, and it never really worked out, ever. Not even once. So, I gotta say, if I was small enough to crawl in there, I definitely would. Absolutely.
That's so funny that she would do that. I remember one time I was at a bowling alley in my hometown, and it was, like, seventh grade, and all of my friends just... they were determined to win something, and we finally got something. It was Wonder Woman, a stuffed Wonder Woman. It was really funny. Definitely that's something that I always think about when I think about my friends.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. Well, on to our next news story. A 16-year-old survives unharmed. Survives being unharmed in a stowaway in the wheel well of a California to Hawaii flight, say FBI officials. That is crazy.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook yesterday. I was a little concerned on how no one detected a human being on the aircraft, but not in their seat, but on a wheel.
I know, seriously. How do they not have, like, security measures for that?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, that's dangerous. I read something also that said only, like, 100 people have done it in the past, like, well, since it started being recorded, and only 25 have survived.
Wow.
So... I don't know how.
Pretty much like jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, seriously, it is not a smart thing to do whatsoever. But the news story says a 15-year-old boy found his way onto an airport's tarmac and climbed into a jetliner's wheel well, then flew for 5 freezing hours to Hawaii. Like freezing hours. That's not even kidding. Because when you're up 30,000 feet in the air, it is cold.
It is nothing like the equator where you are chilling with some tanning oil. No, you are painfully being frozen. Now, how did she do that, and how did she even enjoy that? Like, how is that even worth it?
I have no idea. I can't believe someone actually did that. And why? I read something. He just got tired of his parents or something and ran off to the airport, which he lived close by to, and he just hopped on whatever flight and got off and just started wandering the Hawaii airport, which
that's some true teenage angst.
Yeah, I'll say, seriously, that takes it to a whole nother level, though. I don't know if I'd have the guts to do that at all.
I definitely would not.
No. But it's just dangerous, you know? Oh, it says here he passed out in the air and didn't regain consciousness until an hour after the plane landed in Hawaii. When he came to, he climbed out of the wheel well and was immediately seen by an airport personnel who escorted him inside, where he was interviewed by the FBI. Yeah, no doubt. I mean,
that's definitely a story to tell your grandchildren.
Just one time. That's hilarious.
I mean, if he even lives, he's a pretty daring person. I don't think his chances are very high.
Definitely. Definitely. But being interviewed by the FBI, I'm sure, because, like, they probably thought he was a freaking terrorist. I mean, who hides out in a wheel well? That is just so sketchy.
Very much so.
Can't believe someone actually did that. All right, on to our next news story. A New Jersey woman says a man she met on a dating website stole her dog and her flat-screen TV. Dover police tell the Daily Record and of Parsnipy that the pair went out for the first time on Thursday night. After returning home, the woman said she became occupied in another room, leaving the man alone. When she returned, he was gone, and so were her Yorkshire Terriers named Violet and her TV valued at $3,000. Oh, that is just ridiculous. That is just absolutely insane. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to take a break from these crazy and outrageous news stories because we have Paul Racanello coming up, the Dean of Students of Dominican University of California, and we're very excited. So after this short break, we will be back with Paul Racanello.
Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach out to you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fail. An echo in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed its warning, and the words that it was forming. They said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and the tenement halls, and whisper in the sound of silence.
Alrighty, it is DJ Halfo back here on my show Bizarro, but today we have a very special guest. His name is Mr. Paul Racanello, the Dean of Students here at Dominican University of California. I'm here with DJ Synergy, and we're going to ask him some questions and have a good time.
Alright, everybody, so this is DJ Synergy joining John Halfo, DJ Halfo, and we got Paul Racanello here. Say hello, Mr. Paul.
Hey everyone, how you doing?
It's so nice to have you here. I'm so excited.
Good to be here.
And thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So my first question is, how was campus life like at the time of your attendance as a undergraduate and graduate student?
Back in the dark ages when I was a student here, I would say there are some things that are very much still the same and some things that are different. I joke that back when I was a student here, we didn't have sidewalks, which is actually partly true. The nice paved sidewalks that you have all over campus now weren't as nicely paved, and some of them didn't exist. So that was a big change. I would say in terms of student life, there is still very much a sense of community that exists here. When I was my senior year at Dominican, there were 1,000 undergrads, and now there are closer to about 1,600, if I'm not mistaken. So it was about, you know, a third less in overall population. So it was the same in that people really knew one another, which I think very much is the case today, but different in the fact that most students lived on campus all 4 years, and that has changed, obviously, just because of the enrollment growth and sort of a lack of available housing on campus. So, those are just a few of the things. I would say, again, that still very much a place where everyone knows one another and everyone has a chance to get to know people on a deeper level, not just on a superficial level.
Yeah, it's a very comforting campus,
I'd say. Yeah, absolutely.
Whenever I go to class, I always see a familiar face, and that's always something that I'm extremely happy about, and that's why I'm so content with the university.
Well, I'm glad you're going to class, DJ Synergy. That's the first step, so
yeah, good I'm job. Just trying to keep that GPA keep so living, I can get my the scholarships.
There we go.
Yeah, I just always love how you get that like kind of family vibe coming from the whole campus, even because everyone's so welcoming and nice here, and that's what I love about this university.
Good.
Yeah. All right. So you said you were a women's basketball coach here for 2 years. What was that like? Did you end up playing basketball yourself, or how'd you get into that?
I've been coaching women's basketball for on and off again for about 20 years. Started coaching little kids, like peewee basketball, where the hoops are about 5 feet tall, which I feel like I'm a monster when I dunk on those, up through, elementary school, middle school, high school, and then here at Dominican for a couple of years. I just love basketball. I love the game of basketball. I love the X's and O's. I did play 1 year when we used to have a JV team. I was never, I understand the game. I know a lot about the game. Not the best ball player myself. So, I'm more of a student of the game, but I love teaching it, and I really enjoy coaching. It's a chance for me to kind of break out of my normal everyday routine of being the dean of students and getting to know athletes on an entirely different level. It was a lot of fun coaching the women here at Dominican. We had a couple pretty good seasons and some characters on that team that I still keep in touch with a lot of those players today. It's fun. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
The next question also relates to women's basketball, but also the several various other different positions that you've served here at Dominican, from associate director of admissions, women's basketball coach, associate dean, and dean of students. I wanted to know, how has each position led you to the dean of students position that you currently hold?
That's a good question. When when I was a student here, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. I was torn then between teaching high school and teaching elementary school, and I had a really good friend of mine who actually was a kindergarten teacher, and he and I would talk about it, and I thought, I think I could teach kindergarten. It's pretty fun. Kids are small. You can really help shape their lives. And I joke that now as dean of students, it's more or less the same job. a little bit of an age difference. Those jobs all, you take away something from any job you're going to have. And working in higher education my entire career, there's obviously some things that I love about it. I love the interaction with the students, and that was the admissions role was great because I got to go out and recruit students, introduce them to what Dominican had to offer, help them through that process, see them enroll here, and that was great, and to see them succeed. That's a tiring job. It's a lot of repetition. I mean, I give a lot of credit to our current admissions counselors who do outstanding work and bring us fine students like yourselves, DJs, Hoffo, and Synergy.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that was enjoyable. And after about 5-6 years of that, I just decided, I think I'm going to do something different. And I actually thought about leaving altogether. And I had really no idea what I wanted to do. And a position opened up in student affairs. And I moved into, I was the director of Res Life for a couple of years, Laura Lee's Young's current job. And that's where I really found a passion for the work of student affairs and student services and getting to know the students and providing opportunities and whatnot. And from there, then I got involved with athletics, and, you know, the path just sort of took me to where I am today. So I tell people I'm living the dream.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very confident in all your work because you do have so much experience and you're so familiar with the campus. And so I am just so impressed with your whole job resume.
Oh, why, thank you.
Yeah, it's very impressive. So you kind of covered this next question a little bit in your last answer, but what made you fall in love with Dominican, and why did you choose to stay here and continue working here?
That's a really good question. When I was looking at schools, out of high school, I went to Santa Rosa JC for a couple of years because I really had no idea what I wanted to do. And I really thought I wanted to go to UC Davis. I had some very good friends at the time who were going to Davis, and I said, I'm going to do a couple years at a JC, save some money, you know, help my folks out, and transfer to Davis. And I was all set to do that, and I went to visit him. I think it was like the semester before I was all set to transfer. Walked around campus, and I mean, nothing against Davis, it's a great school, but it wasn't for me. Like, I walked into the library on the first floor and I didn't see any books. I'm like,
it's
this is kind of
totally
freaking,
different from here.
Yeah, it's kind of freaking me out a little bit. I mean, and Davis back then wasn't as big of a campus as it is now. And I just realized at that point that a smaller school was probably what I wanted. So I ended up by staying an extra semester at the JC because I was sort of in like panic mode, if you will, not knowing where to go. And I got in touch with some people here at Dominican. Dominican has an outstanding reputation for its education program, which is what I wanted to do originally, and met some of the faculty members who became my mentors, my teachers, and to this day are still my friends. And they really convinced me that Dominican was the place that I should be, and I am eternally grateful for their guidance.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very interesting.
It's a great, great answer, I'd say. So among my research about you, I was looking up some stuff to ask a couple weeks ago.
Stalking me online?
A little bit of an online stalker. You might want to watch out. I'm just saying. But among my research, I came upon your involvement with the SCUI Institute, or Small Colleges and Universities Division. You mentioned beyond the professional development opportunity, the social and informal gatherings provide outstanding opportunities for networking. I know that I chose to attend DU for this reason, but could you please elaborate more on the benefits of a small size of the campus, as well as the scope of disciplines and degrees offered?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, small schools in many ways are just simply, you know, micro versions of larger institutions, you know, and I think whereas, you know, you look at a school like, you know, Michigan State as an example with 75,000 students, obviously Dominican fits in one small corner of that campus. But once you start to break down those massive schools to, or massive universities to smaller schools and programs, what you'll find is that, you know, what you have at Dominican, you would have in a small corner of those bigger campuses. What's nice about small schools is kind of what we've already touched upon, this notion that you get to really know everybody. You know, you were saying, Synergy, that you get to, when you walk to campus, or when you walk to class, walking across campus, you see the same faces again and again. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you can't help but, well, you should stop and say hello and, you know, get off your iPhone for a few minutes and talk to people. And you really get to develop those great relationships with people, which I think, I'm not saying it doesn't happen at a larger school, but I think it probably happens a little bit more easily here at a small school like Dominican.
It's not as intimidating.
Right. I mean, there's, 300 freshmen a year coming in? So you're one of 300, not one of, you know, 8,000.
It still stresses me out when I meet a freshman and I don't know them. Where have you been?
Right.
How do I not know you yet?
Right. You know, and that's and I think that's indicative of what's so unique about this kind of learning environment is that when you see someone new, you're like, whoa, you're new to this community. Who are you? You want to get to know this person, which is really interesting because what's great about, I like to tell people what's great about small schools compared to bigger schools is that when you go to a larger institution, you'll end up by sort of, you'll have great friends, but you'll find a lot of people who are just like you, who have the same interests. And it's sort of this, you're looking in the mirror every day with your social group. And that's not to say that people are all like that, but that's kind of how human beings socialize. Whereas at a small campus, you're going to be living with, you know, as your roommates and suite mates, attending classes with, and getting involved in clubs and organizations with people who may very well be just like you, but who are also going to be very different from you and very diverse in the broadest sense of the term, not just, you know, racial diversity, ethnic diversity, but socioeconomic status, you know, ideology. You may be a staunch Republican and your roommate is a diehard, you know, Democrat, and have fun with that for, you know, the first year of trying to work things out. So it's great. You get to really, you're sort of in a way forced to open yourself up to new ideas and new ways of seeing the world. And that's what we try to do here at small colleges.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've definitely noticed that being, this is my first year, and I've definitely noticed that it's an extremely eye-opening experience talking to all these different people, and because Dominican is just world-renowned. People from all over come over here, and it is just amazing to meet so many people from so many different places and feel like you're family because you go to this small school together, and it's awesome. It's fantastic.
No, that's a great point. I actually had some friends here when I was a student who made I'm thinking of my one friend in particular, Blanca, who she was always friends with the international students. I mean, she just loved to meet people from different parts of the world. And she spent like her entire summers of her junior and senior year, like traveling the world and essentially couch surfing with her friends in like France and Spain and Italy and Germany.
Yeah, traveling with my roommate from last year with her father to, not Germany, but to Austria, Poland, and Hungary, just because we think that it'd be fun to go do together.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's what it's about. And even if you're, you know, your best friends or your roommates or whoever may not be from different parts of the world, they may be from different parts of the state or different parts of the country, mm-hmm. you know, and it's great to have those kinds of connections that 10 years from now, when you're out in the working world, you come across a name and you're like, oh my gosh, I went to Dominican with that person. Yeah. And it's this kind of this great bond that you have.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, so to kind of change the topic a little bit, I read that you did your thesis on social media and its influence on student identity and imagination. Can you give us a brief description of what you found?
Yeah, we're going to put the listeners to sleep with this. that was my doctoral dissertation, and I looked at essentially how social media, specifically, this is 3 years ago, so Facebook, when it was more popular with you youngins. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get into Twitter and all the other things, but what sort of how that's influencing the student experience. And, you know, I think it's become more common knowledge now, and you all are much more engaged with it than I am. Do you guys both use Facebook?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sure many of our listeners.
I check hourly.
Really?
I'm one of those people.
Well, you clearly stalked me on Facebook.
Yes,
so, yeah.
I apologize, but not really.
Nah.
It was a tool that I could use.
There you go.
Exactly.
The findings were interesting. I think the biggest finding was that through the students that I did my research with, I found that, how can I phrase this? Sort of students, your generation, use social media to sort of create an online persona that's not entirely different from who you are in real life, but it is somewhat different because
kind of fluffed.
Well, that's a good way of putting it. It's sort of fluff because people don't necessarily, you don't post the mundane details of your life. Like, did my laundry? Wow. You know,
although some people are guilty of doing that.
Sure. You know, and they lead boring lives. but you tend to post like the highs and the lows. So it's sort of like the wow factor, either in a good or negative way. But what happens, what I found is that sometimes students end up by creating this persona that is not entirely representative of who they are in real life. And what they, I called it the manufactured identity. This notion that you create this persona, and because it sort of takes on a life of its own, who you are in the flesh, you know, not in, in the offline world, you start sort of changing who you are to keep up with who you want to be online, which is, I think to a certain extent, we all sort of do that offline. You kind of have the hopes and dreams of what you want to do, and you sort of maybe try to live that out in some way, shape, or form. But when you have whatever it is, 500 followers or 1,000 followers on your social media site where people are constantly checking in, you tend to kind of have to do a little bit of what I call reputation maintenance and sort of live to that standard you've set for yourself, which I don't think it's necessarily good or bad, but it can. The ultimate finding, I'm getting a little long-winded here, is that what I found was that students were starting to do things differently to sort of keep up with that social identity that created online identity. So it was interesting. It was just really interesting for me to find out sort of how students use social media because it's so pervasive in your lives.
It's one of those frontiers that is still, it's still being discovered and everything. And so I'm very interested in the work that you put into it. So that's really cool to hear.
Yeah, it's interesting. And now I think obviously Facebook is sort of falling out of popularity with young, with students. And Twitter, I guess, is the big one.
There's Twitter, Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you post pictures and 250 characters or less on, you tweet things out.
Yeah,
you,
exactly.
Do you guys tweet?
Occasionally, yeah. Very rarely.
I'm an occasional tweeter.
Tweeter.
Yeah. I'm more of an Instagram guy. I like to upload those photos.
Okay. Yeah.
It shares your story better.
Yeah, it does. I think just a nice solid photo can tell a much better story than a 250 word little blurb.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is, like, I again, this was just starting to emerge when I was doing my research, but that also can be an incredibly powerful way to create a story, because pictures necessarily don't, you know, the picture is sort of documentation of where you were, what happened, but depending on mm-hmm. how you capture it, you yeah, can exactly. you can create a story that may not be 100% reflective of what was really going on.
Definitely, definitely. You can make something look like it was the best night of your life when it was really just such a bore.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly right. Mm-hmm. right.
Very interesting.
All right, so next question. We're coming to an end. This is my final question for you, but there's one falling of Hafo. He has something to ask, so get ready for that one.
Okay, let's bring it.
First, a couple months ago, you sent out to the student body a student survey, and its purpose was to elaborate on the future of Dominican and offer students a chance to provide input and opinions, and it heavily focused on the student experience. How have the student responses helped to shape the concept of One Dominican?
That survey was, first off, thank you to everybody who filled out that survey. We were.
I did.
Excellent. I did. You get a gold. Both you did gold yep. stars for
thank you.
Yep. And all the listeners who did it, DJs Hafo and Synergy will give you gold stars as well. We were shooting for 1,000 responses, which is, I think, incredible and unheard of in terms of, you know, a survey response for Dominican. We ended up by getting just over 850, which
wow.
is still amazing.
Still a lot.
Yeah, and from undergrad, you know, traditional age students, the pathway students, grad students, everybody. So it was representative of the entire campus.
That's awesome.
A lot of data. I mean, you took the survey, so you know. Some of the questions were yes, no, or, you know, rate this on a 1 to 5. And some of them were give us some answers. So it's taking a long time to comb through all of those answers. We're just about done with it. We've got some, and we did the initial findings based on what was easy to sort of the numbers to crunch. In terms of how it's shaping the concept of One Dominican, and I know President Marcy has spoken about One Dominican, and especially recently with the major gift that we've received from Chairman Borowski, I would say instead of One Dominican, let's think of it as the Dominican experience,
okay.
which is one of the things that I've been spending a lot of my time on. And what we're trying to do is essentially create what the Dominican experience for students. So what mm-hmm. what does your Dominican education look like in the most holistic sense? Not only the classes you're taking, but what you're doing in the classroom, out of the classroom, clubs, organizations, you know, co-curricular activities, internships, everything. Basically, from the day you set foot on campus at orientation to when you leave here, when you graduate, to beyond, because you're always going to be connected to the university, what makes an education, this gets back to the other question, at a small liberal arts college so meaningful and so special? And we've touched on a lot of the social aspects already, but this notion that you get a chance to, you know, your classes are taught by professors, you know, and in some cases, the professors who wrote the book. And you've got maybe what, 15 other people in class. So you're not in a lecture hall with 300 where no one knows if you're there or not. I mean, if you're there and you didn't read, it's pretty evident in the first 5 minutes, right? So that notion of you need to be engaged and involved in your educational experience. So the survey really captured data on what students are pleased with and what we need to do better on, you know, as an example, you know, and President Marcy said this great, students didn't necessarily give great reviews to food service on campus. And that's, and President Marcy said, food service gets poor marks everywhere. Our students are a little more grumpy about it. You know, and I think certainly there's some things that we can improve on, but, you know, not only sort of the living experiences, the residence halls and food service and things like that, but also, you know, how are we meeting your expectations in terms of, you know, preparing you for life after Dominican? Do you feel prepared to sort of, you know, once you leave the hallowed halls of the university, what's next for you? So there's just so much data in this survey that we're starting to pick it apart now and use it to There's also, I got to tell you, I think it's like 9 or 10 or maybe it's up to now 12 task forces and committees made up of faculty, staff, and students who are taking on a lot of these things. So like curricular changes, you know, food service is one of them, you know, services for students, things like that, that we're starting to use this data to give to these committees to say, okay, this is what the students, this is where we're at right now. Where do we want to be? And how, what can we start doing differently to fix that? So, you know, in short, there are going to be some things that we can knock out in the coming months. I think you all heard about some changes we're going to be doing in the library to make it more of an engaging social space. I mean, that
also
was
in the athletics.
Yeah, with the arena. Weight room in Conlon. Yeah. So things that are just quick, easy fixes that, I mean, obviously take a little bit of time and money, but we can do that because the students have said, we need this. So let's, you know, let's do that and let's get it done. But then obviously some things that are going to take much more planning, thinking through a little bit with more intent about what do we want to do, what's best for students. And it has to be in line with best practices for higher education combined with our students and their needs. So I know it's very long-winded, but essentially we've got a big task ahead of us, but we've got some great leadership at the university and we're excited to get there.
Yeah, it's always good to have something to strive for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we should all have goals, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it just blows my mind that one of your goals is really just to make the students happy, which is just so nice to hear, because a lot of colleges, like you said, like big universities, they care about the students, but not on the same level that Dominican does, because it's really a hands-on experience with the faculty and everyone here, and you guys truly care about us as students, and it's amazing for me to see that, because
and you're absolutely right, we do care about our students. I mean, you all bring so much to the campus community. The students are what make the university so special. I mean, if it wasn't for you, I mean, we joke, really. If it wasn't for you, why are we here, right? Yeah. So, you know, when we see you excel in the classroom, on the sports field, you know, in a job placement, we know we're doing our jobs well. And when we see those things not working, then it's not, well, the students didn't do it right. It's, well, what can we do differently to better prepare and better help our students? Yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. That is just great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, so this is the final question here.
Oh, we're done so soon.
Yeah,
it's a hard one, though.
It's a very hard one. You're going to have to narrow it down. The question is, what is your favorite memory as a Dominican student?
Oh, wow. Is this a PG?
You it's know, a college radio show. Yeah. We don't have a lot of restrictions on here. Just please don't swear.
There were, I'm looking at the sign, avoid cursing, dead air, high levels. So I have a lot of memories. I have some, you know, I will say, I'll keep it general. I'll say my favorite memory is not just a memory. It's the ongoing friendships. You know, I have some amazing friends who 20 years later, we still keep in touch. In fact, three of them were, you know, in my wedding. So it's the people that you meet. It's the folks here on campus who in some way, shape, or form, you have an interaction with them. None of them are not always positive. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, things don't go the way you hoped or what you intended to, but you learn something from it. And I think those are the best memories. When you look back and you know, typically we tend to remember the good stuff, like, oh my God, I can't believe the time that we did that. Like when we stole the statue of the Virgin Mary and put it in someone's room.
I remember hearing about that in orientation.
Deny it. I had no idea what you're talking about, Hoffo. and then, you know, so things like that too, you know, sporting events and going to games with your friends and just the sort of feeling part of a community of really awesome people, you know. That's what it's about, and just, you know, having those impromptu sort of things that come up in your college experience. I mean, let's face it, college students don't necessarily keep the most normal hours, right? No. You guys wake up at
I actually woke up this morning at 5 to go to work.
Good for you. That's wow.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe I spoke too soon, but you know, you tend to sleep a little bit later and you stay up till, I mean, what, two, three
yeah,
in the morning?
That's a general good hour to shoot for, to sleep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of, and it's all those sort of things that happen from, like, you know, after dinner to when you're going to bed, just the craziness and the res halls or doing things with your friends. Those are the things you're going to look back on in 20 years and, you know, hopefully it's not, oh my God, I'm so glad we didn't die from that. That's probably the extreme. But just those things that you're going to look back and really have these great memories.
Yeah.
So those are mine.
Wow.
And when we go off the air, I'll tell you all kinds of stories that the listeners won't get to hear.
They don't get the privileges like we do.
Yeah. After show.
Yeah. The post party.
Post party radio show at radio.dominican.edu.
So how many people are listening right now? Do we have these numbers?
Well, actually, our meter for the current listeners is actually broken. So we have
2,000. That's amazing.
400 million people.
400 million
people. We actually
have
the entire population of humanity here listening today.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And you did a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you guys. You're the experts here.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Mr. Rocanello. We really appreciate it, and it was nice to get a nice little insight into what you were doing on campus and your life and everything like that.
My pleasure. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
And if you ever, you know, want to hear yourself speaking, you can log in to radio.dominican.edu. This will be an archived show.
All right. So I'm on the record now.
Yes, yeah. You are. Oh, you can send it out to family and friends.
Okay. All right. Hope I didn't make any promises I can't deliver.
All right. Thanks so much again for joining us.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. All right, everybody. It's DJ Hafo. Thank you so much for listening to our interview with Paul Rocanello. It was a blast, and we really got an insight into what he's doing on campus and in his life. And thank you, DJ Synergy, for joining me today.
Of course, it was a blast, especially because I got to skip part of class.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Paul's shaking
his
head.
It was an honors class, so it kind of levels itself out. I did skip an honors course.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening at radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Hafo.
This is DJ Synergy.
Signing off.
See ya.